And now you wanna know my name. I have so many, choose one that you like. Tell me about it, devil, you know. Have you ever thought it could feel so good? Tell me about it, devil, you know. Whisper what you want inside. Whisper what you want inside. I know that you want. Cycle of pain, I'm the darkest of light. Yeah, I am the whisper that you want inside.
Now going to progress to some steps which are a bit more difficult.
Relax and enjoy yourself.
Ready, set, and begin.
There's something curious about this broadcast.
It is quite bad, but it is good for you.
On with the show!
You have got what appears to be a dynamite sound.
That's right.
Any little boy from Cleveland, Ohio, come to chase your women and drink your beer.
Now. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only
crazy
Frank.
Oh, yeah. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, on this, the eve of the Forbidden Fruit Hour. Historians, many years from now, will mark this occasion as the, I don't know, they probably won't mark it as anything. I've been burping up this Metamucil stuff I've been drinking. It's not Metamucil. It's the generic Walmart house brand. I am having a hard time coming to terms and coming to, I don't know if it's coming to terms. I think just realizing that I'm not 14 years old anymore. I'm not. I have a hard time acclimating myself to that. I just kept, you know, here's, for most of my life, well, up until my early 30s anyway, I could eat whatever I wanted as much as I wanted. It was nothing for me to sit down and eat an entire sheet of brownies. Just a whole pan full of brownies. Just eat them all. Wash it down with a gallon of milk. I never gained a pound. It was like I had a tapeworm. And sometime around the time I quit smoking, my metabolism just kind of went from to almost a dead standstill. And now you eat just about anything. And this is how I got to be 300 pounds. You don't even realize it. It kind of creeps up on you. you just keep eating everything you've always ate. Except for now, you just get a little bigger and a little bit. Damn, my pants are getting a little tight. It really dawned on me one day when I had a woman attack me at a bar. I'll tell the story. I was DJ karaoke stuff at this bar back in Ohio. And periodically, you know, through the night, I'd put on some. It was karaoke and DJ. So you'd do, you know, a round of everybody who wanted to sing got to sing a song. And then you'd play like two or three dance songs. And while the two or three dance songs were playing, I would use that, take that opportunity to go take a piss, go get a beer, maybe just stand outside and get some fresh air, whatever it is. And I happened to be at this particular time standing outside by the door. And this woman is walking out of the bar with a beer in her hand, a glass bottle of beer. I said, hey, you can't take that out in the parking lot. And she turns around and she looks at me and she says, I'm 30 years old. And I said, well, then your old ass ought to know better then. And that, she did not care for that. So she starts screaming and hollering and calling me a fat fuck. Which I've always had always been skinny as a rail, like Ichabod Crane thin. So that this lady was calling me a fat fuck, I thought, well, that's ridiculous. So she's, you know, screaming and hollering, and her boyfriend is just standing there, just limp dick fucking cuck guy. And I'm like, dude, you want to put this bitch on a leash here? We've got laws in this town about, you know, leash laws. And that really set her off. She hops on me. Like, she ran at me screaming, like a war cry. She ran at me, and she leapt like a spider monkey onto me. And she wrapped her legs around my waist, and she starts beating me with her fists, like you might expect a primate to do. And she screamed, knocked my glasses off my face, my watch got ripped off of my wrist, my shirt's getting torn. I'm like, I don't know if I should laugh or just get a boner. Maybe I'll do both. And let me tell you, when a woman is attacking you like this in a drunken rage and you're laughing, that just is like dumping fuel on a fire. So she's really, wah, la, 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 you motherfucker, rah. And then these chicks come out of the bar that were friends of mine. You're like, oh, you bitch, you know, because they were all hood like that. And then they yank this chick off of her, or off of me, and it's this big thing. And then her top gets ripped off, and a titty's hanging out, and I'm standing there with a boner, and her fucking limp dick boyfriend's just standing there. Anyway, it was at that moment I thought, damn, that chick just kept calling me fat. And then I started looking in the mirror thinking, damn, I am a lot bigger than I used to be. And then I kind of just let it go. And it wasn't until I was in, I was up in Watertown. This is, I don't know, 7-ish years ago. Well, I've been in town here for 7, so probably 8 years ago. I'm in Watertown, and I go to the doctor for one of my annual physicals, and he's like, dude, you weigh 300 pounds. I'm like, there's no way I weigh 300 pounds. But it did. Honestly, when I looked down, I could not see my dick. I couldn't see it. I'd have to lean forward and then, hey, you're still down there, little buddy. So I guess I'd gone through this thing where I, not fully accepting, or in my head, I'm still, you know, 14 years old and can eat whatever I want and do all these crazy things and, you know, you're going to live forever and all this stuff. But then your body reminds you, hey, maybe you can't just do what you've always done. And I have decided that my life is so much better if every couple of days, every day or so, I get some of this Metamucil stuff. It's fiber. I just, you know, it's supposed to be orange flavored, but I don't know what the fuck kind of orange, like prison oranges. I don't know where they get these oranges. But once a day, you put 2 teaspoons of this powdery stuff in a bottle of water, and you shake it up, and you just chug it. And it makes my digestive system purr like a kitten. Remember years ago, they had this oil additive called Slick 50? I think it was 50. Slick 50? I don't even know what the fuck it was. It was some sort of oil additive that miracle, I don't know. You're supposed to add it to your engine oil. Does all this magical shit to your car. And I always thought that's just complete bullshit. Well, I mean, it was expensive. I want to say it was like $15, and it came in a box. All the other oil additives and stuff were just a bottle on the shelf. This stuff came in a box. It was a bottle in a box. Ooh. I'll pay more for that. It's in a pretty box. That's what this stuff is for your, I don't know. And people have said that. I'm like, I don't need fiber. What are you kidding me? I'm not 100 years old. Fiber? Getting plenty of fiber. Evidently not. Because you do 2 teaspoons of that stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, this could have saved Elvis Presley's life. You know, Elvis Presley had 50 pounds. 50 pounds of impacted shit in his body when he died. And he died on the toilet trying to pinch a loaf. Because he was on all these pills that was locking him up. But if this stuff had been around, hey, King, TCB, take some of this.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you. Well, thank you very much. Oh, it tastes like shit. Oh, mama.
Would have saved his life. The King would still be around today if somebody had gotten this guy some fiber. Harriet here. Everyone goes through the stage you're going through, age and all that. One day you wake up and accept it. Not really. If you even give babe a shit. If you even give babe a shit, you never fully accept it. I don't think, anyway. Slick 50. Someone's telling me. Slick 50. Lube up your guts. So, yeah, I start the show today. And here's what I did. I got done with the show this morning, and I went out and I did battle with the snow. And I'm shoveling the snow, and I'm running a snowblower. And I got these fucking snow goggles. Because here's what I discovered about snowblowers. You don't know when the wind is going to change. And as you're just merrily going, wah, and you're blowing the snow, then all of a sudden the wind comes up. And it blows the snow back at you. And it blows it. It's this fine mist of snow in your face. And that sucks. Your glasses are all covered in snow. And so I thought to myself, what if I had a pair of... My buddy James the engineer, James Feldman, the audio engineer. He does sound out at the Red Rock on bike nights. Feldman, he likes to go skiing, and he's got these ridiculous big-ass goggles he wears when he goes skiing. You know, he's out in Vail or wherever the fuck, and he's got this weird animal skin like that buffalo guy that on that January 9th or 6th or whenever the hell that was when they stormed the Capitol. He's like the buffalo guy. He's got the whole buffalo outfit, but he's got these giant goggles. And I thought, damn, I need to get a pair of them giant goggles. And I found some on Amazon cheap. And they came in the mail like a week or so ago. Haven't had an opportunity to wear them. Because I'm not just going to wear them around styling, like, look at me. No, I got them for the practical purpose of putting on when I'm running a snowblower. And like, fuck you, snow. You can blast in my face all you want. That's what she said. Snow, you are now impervious to the snow. So I've got the goggles on. Actually, on my Facebook page, I posted a photo of it. I got these goggles on. I got my snow hat on. I got this thing that goes around your neck, a gator or whatever that you pull up. Like, aha, come get me now, bitch. So this is what I did. I get done with the show, and I go out and I do battle with the snow. And then I had to go to Aldi and get bottles of water because I mean it just sincerely when I say that's really all I drink is bottles of water. And I get it from Aldi because it's spring water and it's cheap. I got one right here. I'm shaking it for you. So I go and I do that, and I thought to myself, man, I should get a sandwich. So I got a Mr. Goodsense sandwich. Anyway, long story, slightly longer. It was about 3 o'clock by the time I finally got something to eat. So I wasn't going to get into a big meal before the podcast thing tonight. So my meal this evening was I chugged a bottle of that Metamucil orange stuff. And I get down here and it's coming back up to see me. Hello, Orange, my old friend. Come to burp you up again. So tomorrow, I'm getting kind of excited about it. The Forbidden Fruit, the Crazy Frank's Clubhouse, the Guilty Pleasures Hour. I officially put it into the system as Forbidden Fruit. This was a brainchild. I wish I could take credit for it, but I cannot. This was the brainchild of Bootalicious. We're going to give him a gong here. The brainchild of Bootalicious. He said, what if we did an hour of all requests and it could be whatever the fuck you want it to be? It didn't matter the genre. It could be Western swing. It could be country. It could be rap. It could be heavy metal. It could be screamo, emo, whatever. As long as people genuinely like it, it gets played. You do it 1 hour. So originally I was going to bury it. My first inclination was to bury it on the weekend, like we do the Blues Hour. The Blues Hour happens 10 to 11 o'clock on Sundays. And I thought, well, it's going to have to be a live show because I'm not going to know what to play. It's just like the Blues Hour until we get a bunch of music built up for that. It's kind of like, what do you do? What do you do with that? In fact, now I think maybe we'll just throw all the duds and the drops and all the other shit into the forbidden fruit. And I created that official category in the system this afternoon. So tomorrow at 2 o'clock, we're going to try it. We're going to start it out. We're just going to take requests. Bootalicious gave me $100 worth of iTunes so we can start pulling music down when people request it with impunity. Or until the $100 runs out. Which, you know, it's, you know, the typical songs about a dollar. Sometimes there's Ted Nugent songs are all 69 cents. God bless him. Some songs are 99 cents. A lot of them, most of them are $1.29. So we'll do the math quick on that. $100 divided by $1.29 comes out to roughly 77 and a half songs. Except for they sock you for tax, too. They charge you tax. So they must not charge tax when you buy the iTunes cards. Because they charge you tax on the individual sales. Otherwise, they'd be double-dipping you on the tax. But it works out to roughly, you know, probably 70 or so, 60, 70 songs that you get for your $100. And we'll just see how it goes. And I really didn't know what to expect. I know some people will be like, what the fuck? I mean, people will do that. Like the B-52s played the other day. It was a regularly scheduled song. I should look and see where it's at. I meant to do that. The B-52s Love Shack. It's not really a rock song. I don't think it's a rock song at all. Although, some people will argue that the B-52s are, at their core, a rock band. Maybe a pop rock band, but a rock band nonetheless. Love Shack. Love Shack, baby. I know a guy and he weighs 420. And when he bends over, you can see plenty. It's in the holding category. So currently, Love Shack is in the lost and found. I'm moving it to fruit. That's the actual name of it in the system. Fruit. So, do I want to do that? Do I want to name that fruit? Or do I want to put it in music and give it a scheduler code, fruit. And we'll work it out. We'll work it out. But anyway, so the more we've been talking about it, the more people have been sending me, oh, man, I've got a whole list of songs I want to request. So we've got probably a dozen or so people who've reached out to the show with way more than one song that they would love to hear in this Forbidden Fruit Hour. And then we have people that, you know, they like songs that maybe have gotten canned when we do Keep It or Can It. And those songs will be back in play. I'm of the opinion, and it's, don't take that as gospel, because this whole thing is a complete, we don't know. We don't know how it's going to shake out. We don't know how people are going to react to it. And, you know, all you can do is you can kind of start with a general guideline, and then you can make tweaks as you move along, and you see, you know, as you're fleshing it out, you're seeing what works, what doesn't work. Maybe you're coming up with better ideas or different ideas to kind of, you know, mold it into shape. But the plan is, anything's in play. I just genuinely ask that it's stuff that you like, because this is a real opportunity for people to share with other people, the listeners, music that they like. That maybe, and it's to maybe broaden your horizons a little bit. I know there's some of you out there that are, you like rock, and if it's not rock, you don't like it. You don't want to listen to country? I don't want to hear that goddamn country. I don't want to hear any of that goddamn hippity-hop music. I don't want to hear any of that goddamn whatever it happens to be. So for those people, either you're going to soften to the idea, or you're just going to listen to something else for that hour. I know, I guarantee you we're going to have people that get just butthurt about it. I can't believe you're playing this. Oh my God, K-Back is going down the toilet. You know, the people who are ringing the bell of doom. Oh my God, 1 hour out of the week, you're playing something. You're playing Love Shack by the B-52s? It's, oh my God, this just in the Fox News desk. Internet broadcaster plays B-52 music. It'll be okay. Show me on the doll where the song touched you. But it's interesting. Somebody says, I have one for Forbidden Fruit. I'm not, what's he saying? I have one for Forbidden Fruit I'm sure you don't have, and you can absolutely say fuck no if you're so inclined. It's interesting that you say this, because the song that this person is requesting is a song that I had in mind that I wanted to hear, like my request. I had actually thought about using this song as the intro, like bed music. I know a place down a road, just two streets. Baby, they don't ask you no questions and give you clean sheets. Welcome to the fuck shop. Two Live Crew. There's only one place where we can go, where the price is right, just to fuck a hoe. That was, it's got, Eddie Van Halen sampled in it, and I think it's got it's been a while since I've heard it, but it's got some Guns N' Roses sampled in it. Ain't Talking About Love, I think, is what they sample in there from Van Halen. Each room has a bed and also a sink so you can wash your dick after. Anyway, at the fuck shop. Yeah. This person says if a person only likes one style of music, they only have sex missionary style. And, you know, here's the thing. If the only sex you ever had was missionary style, There's worse things to do. It's kind of like, it'd be better than not having any sex at all. I met a guy one time that didn't like blowjobs. I forget how we got onto the subject. It was actually a customer of mine in the business that I had. And somehow the subject of blowjobs came up, and he says, I don't like those either. I said, what, you don't like getting blowjobs? He said, no, it's not natural. It goes against the natural order of things. I'm not, no, sir. I don't want a woman doing that to me. That's disgusting. And I couldn't believe the guy was saying it. I couldn't believe it. I had to go get one of my partners. I was like, dude, get in here and listen to what this guy's saying. My business partner, Bob. So Bob comes down and says, Bob, this guy is telling me that he doesn't like blowjobs. Bob takes a big drag of his cigarette, and he was a very deep thinker, you know. He says, well, he's probably just thankful that he's got a woman kind enough to sleep with him. He doesn't want to press his luck. So, anyway, the concept of the forbidden fruit. I love the concept of the forbidden fruit block. I just have my opinions of what it's going to turn into. Like you said, you'll get requests for most god-awful dumb crap, and I get that. For music that you have to buy, were you thinking of making a new category specifically for it? The out-of-rock or protected species and eventually let it automate? Or is this something you're willing to long-term commit to? I'd offer an opinion if you'll have an open mind. After the trial period that Buddha paid for, why not set it up for $1 Venmo donation to add a song to the category? People will think a little bit before requesting dueling banjos. There's kind of a gray licensing thing when it music licensing when it comes to pay to play. It is a gray area, and then there's a lot of stickiness to doing that. Sure, I'll play your song if you send me a dollar. Well, first of all, dollar ain't going to pay for the song. It's going to be $1.29 plus the tax, which is a few cents. So let's just say $1.50, round it up. And then the next thing will be, well, how do I, well, give me your address. I'll mail you a check for $1.50. People get in, well, do you take the Cash App? Now you got 14 different apps that you need to have because everybody wants, I have a hard enough time getting people to send the 10 bucks in for the fucking Venmo when the lotto gets big and we do the lottery pools. Well, I don't have PayPal or Venmo. Oh, no. You know what? PayPal and Venmo are owned by communists. I only use Sieg Heil cash. They only use a Sieg Heil app for sending cash. Whatever, you know. Everybody, you know. Why will you take gold bullion? I only pay in gold bullion. So it's problematic to do that on demand and then keep it straight. Who's sending, you know, so then let's say for the sake of argument, somebody asks for dueling banjos. Which really, I mean, a lot of people like that song. I mean, they sold a few copies of the song Dueling Banjos. My guess is it's probably certified gold. I'm going to Google it. Dueling Banjo song. The Dueling Banjos. A bluegrass composition by Arthur Guitar Boogie Smith. Song was composed in 1954. By Smith is a banjo instrumental he called Feudin' Banjos, which contain riffs from Smith, recorded in 1955, playing four-string banjo and accompanied by a five-string bluegrass banjo, played by Don Reno. Chart performance, that's what we wanted. So it was number two in the Canadian RPM top singles, number one in Canadian RPM adult contemporary tracks, number nine in the Canadian RPM country tracks. In South Africa, dueling banjos peaked at number 15. The Billboard Hot 100, dueling banjos peaked at number two. Number two on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, dueling banjos. It was number one in U.S. Billboard Easy Listening. And it peaked at number five in U.S. Billboard Hot Country Singles. So there you have that. So when you say dueling banjos, and then someone requests dueling banjos, and you play it, and be like, what the fuck are you playing here? I mean, I'm here to tell you, when I got a banjo, the very first song I played on it was Dueling Banjos. I got I've got a guitar that's got a switch on it that will emulate a lot of stringed instruments. It's got like a sitar and, you know. And you know what? When you flip it to sitar, the first thing I did was Metallica song. And then when you flip it to banjo, you can't help it. Can't help it. The girl can't help it. So I think the reason why I'm looking forward to it, and it's a fine line between fantastic and complete shit show. Like, you're dancing on the razor's edge here with this concept. And it could go just fantastic, or it could just be complete fucking awful. But we're going to try and we're going to see. It's going to go from, through the month of January and on through February. So I haven't, I guess, looked at a calendar for the February. Let's look at, see when the last. February. So it'll go through February 24th. So there'll be 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks of it in February. And we'll have 2 weeks of it in January. So come February 24th, we'll decide if we're going to keep doing it or if we take it behind a barn and shoot it. But by the time we have... 7 weeks of it? We should have 6 weeks of it. We'll have it dialed in enough to decide if it's something we want to keep doing or not. And it'll be brought to you by our friends at New Era Steel. So Bootalicious and New Era Steel came up with the concept to run, and what we'll officially name it, I guess I don't know. Forbidden Fruit, Guilty Pleasures. Somebody had mentioned Crazy Frank's Clubhouse, which initially I thought was great. But then, I don't know that I want to directly associate. Like, it's not me. It's not. I'm not selecting the music. The listeners are. So it's really not my clubhouse. It's our clubhouse, just like it's our rock. Like, I get this award, they dropped it off today, the Sioux Falls Local Best. Mick, our representative from the Sioux Falls Local Best, brought this nice. This is the second one we've got. We never got ours from last year. We won last year, but they never brought us our little plaque. But we have our plaque from this year. He dropped it off. And it says, thanks Sioux Falls for voting us one of the local best radio DJs 2022-2023. Crazy Frank K-Back Radio. And when I talk about this, I rarely say I'm the local best. I say we're the show is, because I firmly believe that, well, first of all, if it weren't for the people that go and vote, we wouldn't win this. And second of all, what am I doing? I'm just pushing the buttons. The people are responsible for it. So you'll notice that, and it's one of the reasons why in the ad, if you pick up your copy of the local best and you'll see the KBAC ad in there, it doesn't have a picture of me. The other local DJs, I guess I didn't look this year if they're still doing that or not. Probably not as much as they used to because those guys aren't even on the shows anymore. Andy and Tasha are no longer even on Hot 104.7. One of them quit and the other one quit. And then on Big Country, KTWB, you had Chris and Doc, and they were regularly on there as like number one or number two. And the Chris guy left. The Doc guy may still be there. So they probably wouldn't stick their faces in there now. But up until then, up until this year, every time these guys got there, you're just like, ooh, look at swinging their dick in this fucking magazine. And I thought when we got that, when we won, I don't want to stick my fucking face in. Look at me. No. It seems a little douchey. Douchey. That's what it seems. And it's not my rock. It's our rock. I can't take credit for, I mean, I take credit for keeping it going, but as far as the music and the playlist and ideas like the Guilty Pleasures Forbidden Fruit thing, that was listener ideas. Harriet here, call it the KBAC Freak Fest or Funk Fest, whatever. I personally like that idea for an intro. It lets the audience know that they should buckle up. It's about to get crazy Frank weird for an hour. But to make it cooler, you should do the opening riff yourself on guitar with a wah effect to make it yours. At least we know that song isn't done by Grandpa Jones. Somebody's been listening to the show. I've shared on a few occasions my very unpleasant experience hosting the Bluegrass Express. The Bluegrass Express, man, they even had an intro song for it, and everybody's like, all aboard the Bluegrass Express. And I had a guy blowing in a jug. It ran on Sundays for 5 hours, 4 or 5 hours. And the guy that would host it was this huge, he was like the fucking Casey Kasem of bluegrass. And he was going to some blowdown where they have like a jug blowing competition in West Virginia, some shit like that. And he couldn't do the show. And he said, man, could you fill in for me on the Bluegrass Express? And I thought, hell yeah, I could use the money. And I thought it was going to be the easiest radio money I ever made. I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just, because I don't know dick about bluegrass music. I was just going to go in there, and there was a whole category for bluegrass in the system. I was just going to sign on and say, hey, how you doing? I'm, you know, Frank, and da-da-da-da-da-da, whatever the fuck. And just start dropping in music from the bluegrass category. And that was all I was going to have to do. But instead, the phones fucking melted down nonstop all 4 or 5 hours of the Bluegrass Express. And they thought every song they requested was sung by Grandpa Jones. Every song. Could be a woman singing it. Oh, no, no, it's Grandpa Jones. Because I don't know. You know, and the guy that hosted this, you could, oh, you know the song. It goes, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. That's such and such and such and such by Shoopy Shoopin' and Shoopy Shoopy Oops. Yeah, 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 yeah. And he plays it. Like I said, he was the fucking Casey Kasem of bluegrass music. And they would try. They would, well, you know it goes. Like, no, I don't know, man. I don't. That sounds like every fucking bluegrass song here. They all go. Mm. When I think of bluegrass, there was a Bugs Bunny episode where Bugs Bunny was getting chased by Elmer Fudd. And he puts on this crazy-ass beard and these overalls, and he gets a banjo, and he starts playing music, and he's calling, like, the square dancing thing. And then, you know, poor Elmer Fudd goes in with his shotgun trying to find the Wascally Wabbit. And here's... I'm a 49-year-old man laughing about a Bugs Bunny cartoon, but it was funny. So Bugs Bunny's like, you know... He's calling out the dance steps, and then people are grabbing Elmer Fudd, and he's got to abandon his hunt for the rabbit because he has to obey the call of the square dance guy. Unbeknownst to him, it is the rabbit wearing a beard and playing a banjo. Swing your partner round and round. Kick him in the balls and knock him down. And then all the calls... put Elmer Fudd into a compromised physical situation. So he's getting his ass beat, basically, by all the people in the square dance thing. In my head, all bluegrass music sounds like that. Got to slip Tom Jones in tomorrow as well. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. Girl, you'll be a woman soon. Tom Jones. You know, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, when she first went to Las Vegas as a showgirl, I think she was 18, 19 years old, she was a showgirl for Tom Jones. And Tom Jones, at the end of one of the shows, he says, I want that girl to come back to my hotel room. So she goes backstage, back to the hotel room with Tom Jones. And Tom Jones fucks the shit out of a 19-year-old Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. That wasn't her name at the time. It was whatever the hell her real name was. But apparently Tom Jones has got a cock about the diameter of a Hellman's mayonnaise jar and twice as long. And he tears this lady up. He just goes after it. Because they had this, the showgirls had this reputation of being kind of hoish. So he just went after it. This gal was a virgin. So Tom Jones gets up, wipes his dick off on the sheets and leaves. And then one of Tom Jones's handlers comes in and says, well, can I call you a cab? And she says, I think you need to call me a fucking ambulance. And they're like, come on. Now they think that she's trying to pin Tom Jones for something, try to make a name for herself. But she's like, genuinely, that wasn't the case. No, I consensually, the sex was completely consensual. But she's like, I was a virgin, and this guy split me fucking in half. And I probably need to get stitched up. So every time I think of Tom Jones now, because let me be honest with you, prior to hearing this story, when I'd think of Tom Jones, I just thought of somebody's grandma's music. You know, my grandma listened to Tom Jones. Neil Diamond, shit like that. It's not unusual. He tore it up. I think it drove her to, I think she's a lesbian. I think she came out. That was a big thing a couple of years ago that the Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, came out as a lesbian. And then all of these followers of her were like, oh, boo, you're a lesbian, boo. Like, dude, even if she wasn't a lesbian, zero chance she's going to fuck you, guy. So what do you care if she's, you know, putts from the rough? I say putts from the rough. I heard somebody say that, referring to a lesbian once, and I just thought, that's great. I'm keeping that. I'll use it. That's going to come in handy. 6 years later, here I am using it. Putts from the rough. Anyway. Ballad Power. One Slip by Pink Floyd. Someone says, speaking of Ted Nugent, how about Stranglehold after tonight's podcast, please? So, yeah, we can drop that in. Stranglehold. You'll get it. Keep your pants on. Somebody sends me a YouTube link. This is useless to me. Harriet here. I got it. K-Bac all request Freak Fest. I'm serious. I'm always serious. That's why we call him Harriet. Yeah. Anyway. So that's all the news that is news. That's what's kind of at the top of my head. Somebody had asked me tonight, so what's the topic tonight? There's never a topic. There just isn't. I got a hold of some Girl Scout cookies. I've had them for a while. They were in the freezer. And I ate a few of those, too, before I came down. The Samoas are my favorite. If lesbians were to build a house, they'd build it out of tongue and groove. I heard that joke as, did you hear about the house that lesbian carpenters built? It used no nails. It was all tongue and groove. Tongue and groove. I'm more of a finger joint guy myself. Anyway, Jesus Christ. We started out strong and then kind of petered out, but we only got 10 minutes left to go. So if you got something you'd like to talk about, maybe something that's been on your mind for a while, maybe you need some relationship advice, maybe you need some car repair advice, whatever it is, the phone lines are wide open, 605-215-5272. I remember the first, the first ever Crazy Frank Live that I ever did. Before K-Bac was even on the air, I was downstairs and I knew we had to do something and I wasn't really sure what. But I knew that we could use the internet to broadcast whatever it was. And by we, at that point, it was just basically me living off my my severance from K-Bac, which wasn't a lot. But I came downstairs and I set up the system and I think I put it on, I must have done it directly to Facebook Live. Must have done it directly to Facebook Live. And this chick, I had like a screen crawl that had the phone number and all this crap. I mean, it was kind of hastily assembled, but it was a video product. I had three cameras down here. And this chick called into the show, and what was she talking about? Eating ass or something. It was just kind of random. She saw it on Facebook, called, and I was drinking beer. That was kind of my idea. What I was going to do before K-Bac became a thing was I was just going to come downstairs and drink beer and do a Facebook Live. And record them, and then that would be the podcast. And then I got distracted with the whole K-Bac thing, and then that went on for 4 years or so before we started doing this. So anyway, what's the story about you being banned from Applebee's? That's just something stupid I say. I'm not banned from Applebee's. That's a thing that I will say randomly, and that's why I'm not allowed back in Applebee's. Or someone will say something, and just, I will throw that in there. And that's why I'm not allowed back in Applebee's. It's kind of a running joke. I, to my knowledge, have never been ejected from a Applebee's, nor invited never to return. It's just one of those things you say, and then people are like, fuck, what'd this guy do? I used to say that coming out of that Swords and Tequila song. Swords and tequila, riot. And incidentally, the reason why I'm not allowed back in Applebee's. Kind of like the song Roller by April Wine. She's a roller. And I joke about it being a song about banging a chick in a wheelchair. It's not what it's about. It's just a joke. So I'll tell this story because this is an interesting story. So I am at Crazy Frank, not even Crazy Frank. It was halfway to bike night last night at the Red Rock. And Patty P1 comes in, and Patty P1 has a part-time job working as a bartender. And she meets up with this guy from New York. Now, this guy from New York, what he does is he comes to South Dakota for just a few days out of the year, and he lives in an RV. And according to this guy, and again, this is just some random dude that I met in a bar. So if what he's saying is not factually correct, I'm just telling you what the guy said. He said that the state of South Dakota residency laws are that you only have to stay in the state one night out of the year, and you can be a resident of the state of South Dakota. I think that's how a lot of these people use South Dakota as a tax shelter. So this guy lives in New York State, where presumably the state income taxes are high. But he's got a South Dakota driver's license. And he claims to be a resident of South Dakota because he spends one night a year in South Dakota. And now he can legally claim to be a resident of the state of South Dakota, despite the fact that he lives the other 364 days or so out of the year in New York State. So then, whatever his job is, he didn't tell us what his job was, but whatever that job was, now he doesn't have to pay any state income tax because you can't tax me because I'm not a resident. It's kind of like these people that, and I don't know how that works anyway. Because we had people that lived in Minnesota who worked at the Badlands. And I think they still had to pay, I guess, I don't know. Anyway, so this all I knew about this guy was that he, because I'm asking, well, what brings you to South Dakota if you're from New York? Oh, I come here, I stay in my camper for a few days, and I renew my driver's license so I can not pay personal income tax and state income tax in New York State. So I'm just shooting the shit with this guy, having a grand old time. And I find out today that this dude is the record holder for the Cannonball Run. Now, the Cannonball Run starts in New York and ends in California. And it's how fast you can get from point A to point B. And this guy is the current record holder on a fucking motorcycle. It's like 19 hours. He got on some Suzuki, like 1400, and rode from New York State to like Los Angeles, California, and did it in 19 hours and 40 minutes. And this dude was riding through fucking snow and all kinds of crazy shit. Just got on a bike and went. And did it in 19 hours. And he's the record holder for that. And that was fascinating. I didn't even know the guy had a motorcycle. Because all we were doing was talking about, somehow the subject of my dick came up. I forget how that even happened. I don't know. And then people blame me for it. Well, you're always talking about your dick. I didn't even bring it up. In fact, then I come back up to say something, and I said something about slipping and falling, and then Patty's like, yeah, you'd land on your dick. Use it like a kickstand. And then Holga from Volga's like, oh, my God, you're always talking about your dick. And I'm like, I didn't even bring it up. She says, yeah, now you can't even see it. I said, I can see my dick. You play your cards right, you can see my dick. That's why I'm not allowed back in Applebee's. And then that guy thought that was funny as hell. So when I posted the story on Facebook today, it wasn't about my dick. It was it was about, I'll read what I said. I said, I met this dude last night at halfway to bike night, and the subject never even came up. All we really talked about was getting a South Dakota driver's license to skirt New York State income tax and the reasons I'm not allowed back in Applebee's, because I wasn't going to bring my dick back up. Because then people would be like, what? Talking about your dick. The guy's name is Adam Frasca. So back in 2019, he broke the solo Cannonball Run motorcycle record by 1 hour and 42 minutes, completing the coast-to-coast trip from the Red Ball Garage in New York City to the Portofino Hotel and Marina in Los Angeles, California, in 37 hours, 7 minutes. That's what it was. 37 hours and 7 minutes. Breaking Carl Reese's previous record of 38 hours and 49 minutes, set back in August of 2015. Adam departed Manhattan, New York City at 12:03 a.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday, April 9th, 2019, and he arrived in Redondo Beach, Redondo Beach, L.A. Los Angeles, it must be. We'll see L.A., I think, Louisiana. At 10:10 a.m. Pacific time, riding his trusty steed, which, as legend tells, has been known to disappear from view while being watched. His motorcycle, a 2014 Yamaha Super Tenere, an XT1200Z, whatever that is. Must be a pretty good bike, though. As I was reading the story, he said he originally had rigged up a couple of spare fuel cans so he wouldn't have to stop for gas. He could just switch over to these, like, jerry cans. He had these jerry cans, like, strapped on the bike. And I don't know. He must have fucked up. One was leaking, and it fucked up his GPS. And so he had a lot of problems, and he didn't have a support crew. It was just him on the bike and going. Adam has been the 10th person to win the Solo Cannonball Run Challenge on a motorcycle, direct lineage to the original Irwin Cannonball Baker's 1914 run on his Indian motorcycle, which took 11 days. He's crossed the United States of America faster than any other person in history. According to Carl Reese, 12 people have walked on the moon, but only 10 people have held this record. So, I thought that was interesting. If you follow me on Facebook, I posted this story, a link to this story from the Motorsports Newswire. I'm sure a very reputable motorcycle enthusiast website. Somebody says, not safe for radio? Oh, they think he might have been coked up. Well, he was laughing at a lot of those things that I was saying. And I suggested to Patty that, I'm like, well, he seemed like a nice guy. He seemed to think everything that I said was funny. Maybe you smoked a doobie with him on the way out there. And she said, no, he's trying to get his CDL, so he's clean. He's not been fooling with the jazz cabbage. How long does coke stay in your system? I think weed stays in your system for like 30 days or something. Maybe coke is in and out quicker. I don't know. Said that dude was so lit on speed or coke, he was all over the place vocally. I remember being the same way back in the late 90s when I still used illicit drugs. An ex-addict never forgets those tics. And you know what? Maybe he was zinging on pills when he made this cannonball run. She'd call it the speedball run. My teeth itch. And that's why I'm not allowed back in Applebee's. See, that's how that works. Harriet here. Totally original request here. No influences. Swords and Tequila by Riot. How about playing that motherfucker after the show? Absolutely. You read my mind. See? Harriet and I are getting in sync. Tomorrow for the Friday afternoon show, we've got to do either Glory Hole or 17 Girls in a Row by Steel Panther. This person says, the best thing about sleeping with a tranny is reaching around and pretending you went all the way through. It's a highbrow program. That guy from New York would need to have some sort of permanent address or somebody helping them out to be able to claim South Dakota is the state of residency. Well, so he said he uses a thing called Dakota Post. And if I'm not mistaken, Dakota Post was in the 8th and Railroad building. They had Dakota Post had offices on the same floor as us when we were in the 8th and Railroad building when KBAC had the studios there for that year. And that's all they do. Are all these people that live in their RVs, they get their mail at the Dakota Post place, and then the Dakota Post people forward the mail to wherever the people actually are. So their address is the Dakota Post address. So it's like a private post office kind of a thing. But that's all these people did. Like that was their business, and they employed a lot of people. So if somebody, all their mail came to this Dakota Post place, and then the Dakota Post people would know how to get the mail to the people. And I'd asked, you know, one of them were out, they were outside smoking or something, and I would go in and out of the building. And I'm shooting the shit with people because I'm friendly, I'm chatty. And I would say, so what are you guys doing there? What sort of business are you in? Maybe it's something we'd like to advertise on KBAC. You know, I figured we were in an office building. Maybe there were people that had businesses that would like to advertise on KBAC. And that's the way they explained it to me. I don't remember if it was called Dakota Post or not. But that's what this dude used. He set up with a Dakota Post thing. And it's something that people that have on... that live in RVs, essentially. But I suppose... if you were somebody who was also trying to claim residency in South Dakota when you didn't actually live here and you needed an address so you could get that South Dakota driver's license. I remember reading something not long ago. And I don't know how true it was. It was one of these things where people were just fuming or screaming or blubbering. But that South Dakota was like one of these huge tax havens that people would incorporate their businesses in South Dakota. They do all this shit in South Dakota, even though they've never actually been here because of the low tax rate and South Dakota is one of those states where there is no state income tax. You got federal income tax you got to pay, but state income tax doesn't exist. Wyoming's another one. Florida is another one. Dude last night told me Delaware is one of them. But there was kind of a gray area with the Delaware thing. I guess I don't know. I don't know. Well, me working as a fraud investigator for a bank, I won't mention I was ever... hang on a second. I got to open this up so I can read the actual thing rather than the preview. Well, me working as a fraud investigator for a bank, I won't mention if it was ever researched, they would realize that's not an actual physical address or somebody with LIV. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that. I don't know that this guy is in the tax bracket that is going to get a lot of scrutiny. You know, I don't know that he's Donald Trump. The guy, from what I understand, was trying to get a CDL, so he doesn't currently have a CDL, which tells me he's probably not got much of a career going on right now. So his personal state income tax liability in New York State is not likely a lot. I think they generally get itchy about those kinds of things when, you know, you're making a lot of money. Not, you know, some fucking dude working at Arby's trying to get out of pain. Don't tread on me! You know, trying to get out of paying the state income tax. So he goes to, lives in a camper. And the way the guy described it to me was that you only had to stay a night, one night a year, you had to stay in South Dakota to claim being a resident. So he was like, you could come to South Dakota and stay in a hotel. And as long as you hung on to the receipt to prove that you stayed in the hotel that one night a year, that would count. Now, I'm not saying this guy was a lawyer, and I'm not saying the guy was right. I'm not saying the man was a genius. I'm just saying this is what the man told me. It could be completely flawed. I live in South Dakota. I've been in the same place for 7 years. I've lived in this. I've lived in this house in one spot longer than I've lived anywhere in my life. So I don't have to worry about it. Hello, Crazy Frank. Josh from the Brothers Grimm here. Just returned Zach to base. Could you please play Planet Zero from Shinedown? So the Brothers Grimm, the youngest, is graduating. He's passing out of basic training tomorrow. Tomorrow is his official, you're in the army now, you're not behind a plow. You know, that whole thing. Wahoo. What does the army say? Is it wahoo? Maybe it's who. Maybe it's hoorah. Hoorah. Not to be confused with oorah. I guess I don't know what the hell they say. But dude's in the army. Officially, tomorrow. Why? I guess you're not official until you graduate basic training, right? If you wash out of basic training, do you get a DD-214? I don't know. Anyway, they want to hear Planet Zero, and congratulations to the youngest Brothers Grimm. And his career and the United States Armed Forces. Planet Zero. We'll drop that in the stack. We got Swords and Tequila. We got Stranglehold. We got Planet Zero. And we got me wrapping up the show because I'm done for the night. I will be back bright and early tomorrow at 9 a.m. We'll do the regular show, and then tomorrow, hold on to your butts at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, the inaugural run of the Forbidden Fruit Hour. Brought to you by New Era Steel for all your welding needs. No job too big, no fee too big. New Era Steel, ask for them by name. If they can't do it, they know a guy who can. That's what the man told me to say. So that's what we're going to say. I'm such a whore. I'll catch you bright and early tomorrow. Until then, don't let your meatloaf. Into the bar,
You wanted it. Well, now you've got it. K-Back rocks.